Greetings from Muscat, Oman. We actually live in Arabia. It's amazing there. We love it. You know, when we go to watch camels, we don't just see one skeleton camel in a zoo park, but we see hundreds of them, hundreds of them. They're fantastic. You know that one good camel can cost over $1 million? The racing camels, they're so expensive. And they're really big animals, beautiful animals. And when we go to see turtles, you know, we have a lot of turtles in Oman. We don't just see one little turtle. They're big, and we see thousands of them. Yeah. How about goldfish, you know, colorful fish? Not just one little goldfish, you know, but really thousands of them. It's a privilege to be in Oman, and God has put a great love for that nation, for us. And I'm speaking about us. We are a team, they're a great Christ team, and we just consider it to be a great privilege to minister in that country. And all our team members are planning to be here for the convention. This is really a miracle, and we are grateful to God for that. Yeah. There are a lot of things in life that don't depend on us. Have you noticed that? Don't be discouraged by the things that don't depend on us. Don't be discouraged by the things that don't depend on you. Don't be condemned by the things that don't depend on you. And don't be frustrated by the things that don't depend on you. God has prepared something beautiful for us, and He's working on it. He's hands-on with us. He really is working in our lives, even though it sometimes seems like there is a long time that He's forgotten about us. Sometimes everything is going wrong for the right reason, for the good reason. Brokenness is the word that I want to talk about tonight. How in our ministry we have been hearing great messages about the anointing of God, and this is not just a Greater Grace invention. It's really from the Bible. It's a very powerful thing that connects the life of God through our life and ministers to people. But it's not possible without brokenness. You know, when you've been a believer over 40 years, you think that how could you be more broken? I mean, enough is enough. But it's a surprise to find out that you actually aren't broken in so many areas of your life. You know, after the fall of man, no one has really done anything perfectly in this world. No one. No one has been perfect in speaking. No one has been perfect in cooking, singing, dancing, you know, you name it. There is no perfection. So let's not be so hard on one another. Let's learn to be gracious as the Lord is gracious. Because when you think about Moses, why was he 40 years in the wilderness? What happened there? Most of the time, probably nothing. And that was in God's plan. And he was broken. And he was broken more. 40 years is a long time. If you look back 40 years, what was the world like? No computers, no cell phones. Can you imagine? I mean, 40 years is a long time. And Moses was in the wilderness, and he was being prepared for the ministry, because the ministry would not work without him being broken. So then finally he came out ready because he was so broken. And God called him. And God called him to minister 40 more years. Where? In the wilderness. Back to the wilderness. And I'm sure Moses could have said, well, I think I've already been broken enough. God is doing something supernatural. And that's what anointing is really. I'm sure you have experienced that in the church service, in the ministry, when you've been evangelizing, doing mission work, anywhere. You just experience the anointing of God. And you can almost put your finger on it and you say, this is so supernatural. Like, I went to the church with an expectation to hear from God. And God, bang, 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 God spoke to me. And it was so anointed. Because the pastor was broken. Then you maybe another time sometimes have heard a man speak and he's very eloquent and has the right facts and amazing communication and a lot of information. And it says, pooh, it's nothing. The right vocabulary, the right movements, you know, excellent preaching, and there's nothing. And you would, of course, be careful not to say, you would not say, oh, that was not anointed. I mean, we know better than that. We don't want to say that, but sometimes it's obvious because there's no brokenness. There's no brokenness. There's nothing. Nothing comes through. No life from God comes through because there's no brokenness. Last night I came from New York by bus and and I was tired. You know, the jet lag hits me around this time, so I'm a little bit tired now. And this was the time when I was traveling and my legs were hurting, you know, because I'm an old man. I had been walking the whole day. So I'm sitting in this bus and there is not enough space there. And then the ventilation is on me and it's just like blowing this cold air. And I'm trying to fix it, you know, and I cannot see without my glasses, right? So I'm just trying to fix it, like, you know, and I'm fixing it and fixing it. And the trip lasts like 3.5 hours or so. So maybe 3 hours I was trying to fix it. And I was so angry. And I was condemning the bus company to the lowest pit. You know, I was like so angry at them. And I said, how dare they offer their services? And, you know, I paid money, not so much money, but I paid some money for this. And here I am freezing and I'm going to catch a cold and it's going to ruin my whole rest of the summer. And I was like, you know, getting more and more into it. And I was so negative and I was hurting and I was the wind was blowing on my face, messing my hair and everything. You know? And I was just really getting angry. And then maybe 5-10 minutes before we came to White Marsh, I found another thing there and I moved it and it closed it. I know. A little bit embarrassed privately, no more privately, but I was like, uh-oh, okay. But isn't that funny how that judgmental attitude and that condemnation is so much coming so easy? A little thing like that, just ridiculous. I need to be a little bit broken. In certain areas. God breaks us. It's in His plan, and it continues to be in His plan. You know, it's so interesting that, you know, you remember how Jesus said that the poor you will always have with you? But in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 15, in verse 4, it says that there should be no poor among you. And then Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. And it's like, okay, the poor we will always have with us, so what's the point? Like trying to take care of the poor so that there would be no poor among you. This is an interesting dilemma, if we could call it so. It's an interesting place where God has put us, where there are things that we cannot change, and still God wants us to do it. Certain things that we cannot do unto perfection, but God wants us to do it. I could say, I cannot preach perfectly and just continue sitting, but I have to come here and preach imperfectly. And God wants us to do it that way. And it's part of the plan of God when He is breaking us. And when God breaks us, He doesn't humiliate us, but He really breaks us. Have you ever thought about it? Sometimes we have this idea that God is breaking us like really carefully, so that we would not be hurt, or we would not misunderstand Him or something, or we would not get offended or something. I don't think so. I think when God breaks us, He really knows what He's doing, and He's doing a good job. You know, there is a verse in the book of Job. It's one of his advisors. He told Job that, you know, God, I saw it in NIV translation. I'm not reading NIV, but I just saw it in an NIV translation. I just looked at it for a moment. I'm not reading it all the time. So, because this word was used, a different word was used for that. This is in Job 5:18, when he says that God actually, he says, the NIV translation says that God strikes, but His hands also heal. That God strikes, like God smites people. You know, this is like an interesting word. I never seen it before. We love Pastor Schaller in Finland, in everywhere where I have ministered. We love him in Central Asia and Azerbaijan, in Europe. And one of the things that I remember from Pastor Schaller's messages is that he would take the Bible and he would just show it that you know, how we want God to deal with our lives with the Word of God. And he would take the Bible and says, God, hit me again. God, I need you to hit me again. And I love that, because that's what God's anointing does. God's anointing really is God's striking us. It's not just God is just anointing, like, you know, God is just like somehow romantic mood, and He's in this romantic mood, just, you know, trying to speak to us with a soft voice and stuff like that. But He's really hitting us. But He's healing us. It's like, and don't we need that? How many of you need that? Okay, some of you do. How many of you want more of that in your life? Maybe, yeah. Because we are not done yet. That's why we are here. There's a ministry that God has prepared for us, and it's not possible without His anointing. Because when we know something about His anointing, we learn to depend on it. We don't dare to minister on our own. We don't dare to go in our own strength and in our own ability. How could we? And so many times, especially in other countries where we've been ministering, we've been in a place where it's totally, we just have no control over things. And we don't have any ability. And maybe we don't even have any motivation. And then God shows what He's doing. And it's beautiful. And I really, you know, pray that we would be wise in our personal walk with God. It's so personal. It's so gentle in a way, like the way how God leads us. 1995, I was in Korea, in Seoul, Korea, and I was visiting a missions conference, and I had heard about Korea, how Korea had become a Christian country from Buddhist background. But I didn't really see, when I first arrived, I didn't see anything Christian too much there. One of the first evenings I was invited by a German couple, if you remember, they were working for the German embassy and their daughter was part of our ministry in Austria. And I was invited to their home for dinner. And in the evening, in their residence, we went to the balcony. They said, we want to show you something. And we went to the balcony and we looked over the Seoul, over the city. And we could see these small crosses everywhere, small red crosses everywhere in the city. And they said, these are churches. God is moving. God is doing something amazing. I want to see that in the Arab world. I believe that God will give that to us. And I really want us to step into it boldly and say, God, give us that. Almost like, God, I refuse to come home. I want to see that, Lord, because that's your heart, so that none would be lost. Those nations are so lost in the false religion, in all the things that are happening there. But in the same time, there is a beautiful, beautiful movement of God, and we will share about it more not in here, but we will share more about it, because we want to share with what God is doing there. And we thank you for being part of it by supporting us, encouraging us, and we really wait for your visit. I believe that we could have hundreds of Greater Grace people in their person Gulf countries, maybe thousands. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but maybe not. If there are thousands of camels there, why couldn't there be thousands of Greater Grace believers? Yeah, looking forward to being with you here at the convention. Amen.
Okay, just a word on the message. Brokenness, right? Brokenness. So my behavior is one thing, but am I broken, right? My words are one thing, but am I broken? God knows. Broken spirit, he will not despise. The sacrifices of a contrite and broken spirit, he delights in. Brokenness. So I could be a very strong man and very successful, but not broken. I could be a pastor and a good one in one sense, but not be broken. Pastor Monty mentioned how in the ministry Moses was broken, and we never outgrow it, because my iniquity comes back. It's just my self-importance and my life and my interests. And just in closing, Psalm 18, it says, I have kept me from my iniquity. I have kept me from my iniquity. And what that means is my self-importance is something that I got to keep an eye on. Because it comes back, it resurges in my life, my self-importance. But if we could sit on a curb and think that Jesus is there with nothing, he is poor, nobody knows him, he's a nobody, but he's God. And he doesn't have to be important, but he is important, because out of brokenness comes honey. Remember? Samson killed the lion, and out of the lion's carcass came honey. Out of death comes sweetness. And when somebody has a sweet spirit, it's because they're broken. And the ministry of Christ is from brokenness. And I agree, we have a convention, and it's more than greater grace. It's God visiting us and preparing us. And then one last point that we said today. I think this convention is going to be the greatest we've ever had. And this is why. This is why. Because you are older in the Lord. Because you have learned a lot of things through decades. Because you're still living in faith. Because you're available to God. Even more, you're more excited about it because we're getting closer to getting home. And like God is moving and he is adding an increase. God gives the increase. And we're further ahead than we were a year ago. More experience. There's more things that we have learned. We have, like, we're walking with God. I honestly believe this could be a convention of amazing magnitude in a way that is just, we cannot even figure it out. But it'll happen through brokenness, and because that's the way God operates. And my sense is that is how we are living, we are learning, we are faithful, we are obedient. Okay, one more last thing. People say, I could not find my place in the church, or I could not get connected. What's the answer to that? I come into this church, this one, it could be anyone. I go to a church, but I don't find my connection. What is the answer? What? Here's what I think. Instead of talking about being connected, think about being committed. Now, I have a girlfriend, let's say, before I got married, okay? I have a girlfriend. I'm looking for the connection. I want to have a connection with the girlfriend, okay? That's like one way of looking at it, okay? But actually, when you get married, it's, I'm making a commitment. Because there may be a day in my relationship when I don't feel connected, and my girlfriend will say, we may not be connected. What do you think about it? I say, I may not be connected, but I'm committed. I am committed to you. I make a commitment to you. I love you. God loves you. God loves me. And I make a commitment to you. Guess what will happen? Probably you'll end up with a pretty good marriage. Because the man is a man. He's making a commitment. And same with the church. If we're all kind of feeling, do we feel connected and all this, it gets very complicated. I don't feel connected. It's like you gotta get deeper with God. And you have to say, I am here not because I feel connected. I am here because of love. And because Jesus Christ came into this world, I don't think he felt connected. It was a holy God that came into a sinful world, and he didn't feel connected. But I'll tell you, he loved us, and he died for us without being connected because he was committed to his Father. And look at what happened. The church was born, and we are here today very much connected to him, but our connection is because of a great commitment. Isn't that amazing? And the commitment is coming through brokenness. Jesus, I may not feel you, but I am committed to you. Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. And when Naomi turned and went back to Bethlehem, Judah, it says she was quiet. She wasn't talking. And Ruth is just kind of plodding along. I made my commitment. I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah. And this woman's not talking to me, but that's okay. I'll go with her wherever because I'm committed to her. With all my heart. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, amen. There will be a wrap in the cafe. Have an amazing evening. A terrific day today we had. Praise God. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.